You are listening to episode 105 with my guest, Liz McKinley. Liz is a certified professional organizer, move manager, public speaker, and the owner of Let's Make Room. Based in Oakland, California, she is now in her 12th year of operation. In this episode, we talk about downsizing and why this process is hard for people, and those important questions you need to be asking yourself so you can move beyond being stuck with your stuff and feeling freedom. Liz shares her personal story about letting go with some great questions you can ask yourself when challenged with parting ways with your stuff. You are listening to Calm the Chaos. This is a podcast for women in midlife. My name is Deborah Vole, and I am a career coach who helps women get clear on the steps that they need to take towards their dream career so that they can transform their life. So often, we wake up and realize that what we're doing every day is not in alignment with who we are anymore. We hold on to the hope that there is something out there waiting for us to discover, but we may feel a little overwhelmed, stuck, or fearful of taking that first step. I believe that when you calm the chaos in your life, then you are better able to hear your inner desires and can take those first steps to transform your life. Midlife is an exciting time, and I believe that you are the author of your next chapter. You can reach out to me through my website, deborahvole.com, and there are multiple resources and ways to connect with me. Right now, I have a couple of new resources on the site for you to check out. If you're thinking of a new career this year, I want you to head over there and pick up the Resume Reset Guide. I've created a helpful do's and don't guide that will help you to walk through the process. I also have a fun worksheet for you to download, which is from my Passion and Purpose workbook. For those of you who have been curious when I've spoken about the workbook, this is one of the 18 downloadable PDFs taken from the book and gives you a sense as to what it's like to work independently if you desire to go that route in your journey. My one-on-one clients receive this workbook in a physical format when they sign up for my 8-week coaching session. I'm currently offering a free 60-minute clarity session. Discover what's holding you back from your dream career. You'll want to book a call with me if you're feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or burnt out, and you know that you just need to be doing something different. Getting in the car and driving to a job that doesn't resonate with your goals or lifestyle needs to be kicked to the curb, especially for the new year. If you're interested in reaching out to book your call, head over to the website and click on the Work With Me tab to book your free session. Now is the perfect time for you to get into action. You can find the link over to the offer in the show notes. Well, let's go ahead and jump on in today with my interview with Liz. Liz McKinley is a certified professional organizer, move manager, and owner of Let's Make Room, LLC. Liz is based in San Francisco Bay Area, and Let's Make Room is in its 13th year of operation. Liz and her team deliver expert, caring, and efficient hands-on help designed to minimize the mental stress and physical demands often associated with large-scale organizing projects or relocations. At the start of the pandemic, Liz launched her virtual platform to provide one-on-one coaching and organizing services for people stuck at home or working alone. Raised in New York City, she is fiercely protective of her clients' well-being and an expert on helping them make difficult decisions to support their overarching goals. Liz is an engaging public speaker on topics including the unforgettable system for taming your paper monster and understanding your spouse's organizing personality and how to downsize 30 years of stuff with less tears. Liz has written her blog nearly every month for 12 years, and you can visit her at her website, letsmakeroom.com. We have also had Liz on the show before. If you are a longtime listener, you may be familiar with her episode back in October of 2020. But I'd love to be able to welcome back to the podcast, Liz. Welcome to Calm the Chaos, Liz.
Thank you, Deborah. I'm so delighted to be back. I feel just all a twit.
Well, right before we hit record, we had to ask ourselves, when was the last time you were here? And when we looked it up and it was October 26th in 2020, we were just starting to move through the pandemic. And little did we know that here we would be still here. And the first thing we asked each other was, how you doing?
How are you doing? Yeah, right. Which has a whole new meaning now.
It does. It does. And as we were talking October of 2020, you were already pivoting your business. You were already helping people virtually. I know that you mentioned you had a client that was up in Canada that suddenly had to leave at the start of the pandemic and move back to Canada, and you virtually had to move all their stuff back for them.
Well, yes. Well, I mean, I actually physically managed their move. But we communicated virtually. Yes,
exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. You have been through it all. But what asked me to have you back was a recent article that you sent in one of your newsletters, and that was about downsizing. And I know that for me personally, in the season that I am in, downsizing is key. And I was thinking, you know what? Everybody needs to hear this story about you personally downsizing some things in your home. And so I wanted you to come back on and talk about that. And then I'm sure that there is a lot that you share in your talk that you do about how to downsize 30 years worth of stuff without any tears.
Yeah. And that's a lot of what we do and a lot of what I'm doing right now. I'm seeing so much of that with my clients who have lived in their homes for 20, 30, 40 years and who through no real, you know, fault of their own, just kind of life, have accumulated so much, and circumstances such as the loss of a spouse may have made it very difficult for them, or they were caretaking a spouse. So things just got worse and worse and worse. And so this week, as a matter of fact, I had two meetings with clients whose garages and parts of their homes were really stuffed to the rafters. And here they are, you know, in their late 70s, early 80s, trying to figure out what to do. And it's a real challenge facing a lot of people across this country. And I'm happy that we provide a service that can help them. But at the same time, I feel a certain sadness for what they're up against and the burden now that they face at this time in their lives when they really should be more relaxed or, right, you know, doing, yeah, the things that are important to them. So my mission is to really help get them to that place, that freer place, more quickly than they could otherwise. They, yeah, can't do it alone. Yeah. That's really the truth of it. It's not that they don't have to, is they in many cases they simply can't. They don't have family that live nearby. They think they're going to do it, but I mean, I bring in teams of 3 or 4, sometimes 5 people, and healthy individuals who are organizers and who are trained for this, and they even, you know, we're putting in 2-3 long days. So it's, you know, it's impossible for a single person to do it themselves.
I know that, Liz, just a personal story of mine over the Christmas holiday, I had taken that week and I was going to take a mental break, right? So it was going to be my vacation. And then I got snowed in here in the Pacific Northwest. We had a huge snowstorm and I live on a big
hill. I heard.
I just stayed in. Well, we knew we were going to have snow. I stocked up on the most important thing, which was food. And so I was good. And I thought, okay, what am I going to do? And I started going through stuff with my theme in mind, which is downsizing. And I had just, you know, I had about 5 or 6 grocery sacks full of stuff. I was like pretty proud of myself. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but I had to make some difficult decisions. And there was quite a lot that ended up in the trash can, which was good. But when I went to donate it to the Seattle Children's Hospital thrift store this last week and pulled up to the back for the donation area, across the street is the Goodwill, and you should have seen the line of cars that were in line for drop-off donations. I know this is a huge time of the year where people are like, yeah, I'm going to get in there. January is a great month. What else are we going to do? The weather is really crummy. I'm going to get in there. And by maybe by now, by mid-February, people have lost their steam. What kinds of words of advice do you have for us as far as tackling those 30 years worth of stuff?
Well, you hit on it when you said a lot of decisions. I think, you know, we say in the professional organizing business that clutter is nothing more than delayed decision making. But I've always wondered, why the decisions have been delayed. And it's because we really don't know what questions to ask ourselves to help us make a decision. So we pick up whatever item, you know, we pick up something, any object, and, you know, some people walk around with that object for 10 minutes trying to figure out what to do with this thing. And sometimes what they just do is put it on the first horizontal surface they can find. We actually jokingly call that the FHS method of organizing. But when it comes to downsizing, you really have to make a decision about what really is important to you and what isn't. And those questions, there are hundreds of questions that I ask my clients to help them make that decision. I don't have an opinion about what they keep or let go of. It's their items. And so I can't have an opinion about it, but I do have an opinion about helping them reach their goals. So if they tell me they have to sell their home because they need to move into a small, or they want to move into a smaller community or home, and they have 4 bedrooms worth of stuff and they're moving into a 2-bedroom apartment or new home, then, and they've said, well, that's our goal. We need to be able to downsize. Well, then that's my goal too. So I often ask them permission up front to point out if I think that they're making a decision that doesn't support their goals. That being said, for everything that they are having to confront and deal with, the decision is ultimately theirs. So the first question I always ask my clients when I see that they're stuck on something is sort of the obvious one. Well, do you love it? And I can often tell, even by the expression on their face, the moment they pick it up, they smile. I can see their sort of good feeling. And my job is not to tell them to let go of everything. My job is to help them make decisions that they're going to be happy with or at least can live with by the end of the day. There are going to be things that people love, but the vast majority of things that we have are things that we have acquired that we may or may not use anymore, that may or may not fit our lifestyles anymore, may or may not have positive mojo for us. And so my job as a professional organizer is to kind of zero in on what questions need to be asked, what my clients need to consider for them to come to a decision that they can live with. So as I'm asking them questions, usually after maybe 3 questions, I can tell that there's some resolution in their heads. And I'll say, okay, so what have you decided about this? And they'll either say, I want to keep it or I want to let it go. And they're very clear about it. And then we move on. So knowing what questions to ask yourself, such as, you know, obviously, do I love it? But beyond that, if I saw it again in a store, would I buy it? Does this have a lot of emotional meaning for me because of maybe a memory that it brings back? And if so, is it honoring the person associated with that memory? There are some things that people keep because their, you know, Aunt Jessie gave it to them, but if it's broken and it's not some sort of everyday item, I might ask them, well, is keeping that thing honoring your Aunt Jessie? Are there other things that you have that might honor them more. There's also the question of, does it suit who you are now? People hold on to a lot of things because they're holding on to old identities of themselves. This can happen for a lot of retirees. You know, they're holding on to things that were associated with their past lives. And so they have difficulty letting those go. So you know, there's a great poem that one of my clients shared with me that I just think is absolutely spot on when it comes to this whole process. And I'd love to be able to just, it's very quick, but I'd love to be able to recite it. It's called Yearning. And it says, yearning for a new way will not produce it. Only ending the old way can do that. You cannot hold on to the old, all the while declaring that you want something new. The old will defy the new. The old will deny the new. The old will decry the new. There is only one way to bring in the new. You must make room for it.
I love that. Yes. And
it was, you know, that was sort of the philosophical underpinnings of my business when I named it Let's Make Room. So the physical challenges of getting rid of things is what we take care of. That's often what gets in the way. It's just simply, it's too physically and logistically exhausting to downsize this overstuffed two-car garage or an entire home with 30, 40 years worth of, you know, things from family members or children that have long since grown. There's the physical and logistical challenges, but there's really, I think a lot of it for a lot of people is just the decision-making. And so if you have some tools at your disposal to help you make decisions, you can always then call others for help, whether it's a professional organizer or a hauler or an estate seller. Try to make it as easy for yourself to make decisions. Now, the way we work is we make that easy by sorting things first so that people go on what we call a reverse shopping trip. Everything in a space is sorted like, just like you would find in a typical store. You wouldn't go into a grocery store or a hardware store or a clothing store and see everything kind of boxed up and mishmashed together. It's, you know, it's sorted by category. So that's kind of what we do so that our clients can then more easily say, oh, well, I like these pants and these pants and these, but I don't want these and these. And we try to take them through it pretty quickly. They're only involved in the editing process or what a recent client of mine called the pruning process, which I just love, for a relatively short period of time as compared to the work that we're doing. So they are making decisions to support their vision of where they want to go next in their lives. That being said, sometimes it's incremental. So the story that you brought up about my own personal experience is an example of that, how things sometimes take time to let go of.
Can you share that story that you wrote about on your blog about the records? I'd love for you to be able to share it. Yeah.
I'd be happy to. My husband and I have lived in our home since 2003. And I have over the years let go of, I had a record collection dating back to when I was a teenager, and I had kept those records and taken them through moving cross country twice, three apartments, our home, and they just kept coming with me because letting go of my record albums for a child of the 70s was, you just didn't do it. You know, it just, we were all very attached to our record albums, as was I. So, but I had not listened to one of those albums, the physical album, in years. I, like many people, listen to music online or maybe even through CDs. CDs, by the way, are the next challenge I have to face. But I had all of these albums, and one day I was going downstairs to look for something in a cabinet and I saw them all. And I thought, I need to do something with this. And so what I did was, it didn't take me very long. I quickly took photos of each of the album covers because my thinking was, I will be able to have a record of them, no pun intended. I'll be able to have a, you know, not just a memory, but I could basically then go on to one of the online streaming sites and see, is this record there? Is this record there? Is this record there? But to be honest, that was all I did. I took the pictures and then I went away. And then a few months later, we were undergoing a remodel in the room where the records were stored. So we had to empty out the cabinet where they were and put them in bags. And we moved the bags and the remodel happened. And 2 months went by and I went back and lo and behold, there's the bags of records. And I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, good God, Liz, you're an organizer. What is wrong with you? How come you can't deal with this? So I took the bags of records and I decided I was going to go through them and see maybe if there were ones that I really wanted to keep well enough that I would hang them on the wall. That was my criteria, that they were that important to me that I would want to hang them on the wall. Now, keep in mind, I didn't have a working record player, so there was no way I could have even played them if I wanted to. But they represented different chapters of my life. I mean, they told the story of my life in many ways, the album covers, the music. So I get it when people are very attached to things. This is not, unfamiliar to me. So I went through and I looked at each of the ones, each of the albums and said, is this something I'd want to hang on the wall? No. Is this something? And when I got through it all, I realized maybe there were six that I wanted enough to hang on the wall. And then I put them away. And guess what happened? I ignored them for another. And then what happened was, then I put them back in the way in the cabinet. Then we had to store our lawn cushions in the cabinet where the records were. Then I was really, okay, the jig is up for me. So I took the albums out of the cabinet. Now, granted, at least 6 months has gone by since this whole, from the time I was photographing them till this. And at that point, I made a decision to sell them. I couldn't play them. I could have kept them. It's not like we didn't have the storage for them, but it seemed to me like I wanted to do this because it was something that I knew, you know, that my clients experience. And I wanted to, and I actually do take on organizing projects in my house all the time so that I can re-experience what my clients do. And I felt like the challenges that I was up against in this could help me be more empathic to my clients. So I said, that's it. I'm going to sell them. I posted them online. I had a number of people interested. Ultimately, I had this one young man, you know, in his maybe his 30s come by, and he ended up making an offer. And he was a huge music lover. He was a music collector and he was a seller too. So I knew they would get into the hands of people who really loved them, who loved my music. And he sat there, he went through them and God, you know, I sounded like such, just like my parents, you know, he was going through them and I would start telling him stories about, you know, the Bob Dylan album and the Joni Mitchell album and the, you know, the Procol Harum album and whatever it was, listening to myself do this. And then finally it was time for him to leave. We, you know, he paid me and he said, hey, don't you want to just keep one? And I said, oh, okay, I guess so. Yeah, maybe I'll just keep one. And I kept the one that was on the top of the pile. It's an album that I bought on the streets of Commonwealth Avenue in Boston when I was a freshman at Boston University. It was by a band, kind of relatively unknown band called It's a Beautiful Day. And they had a song on it called White Bird. So any of you out there who were born prior to, you know, 1965, probably know this song and this album. And it is, a picture of it is on the blog that I wrote about this process. So that was my experience with the albums. I wanted my readers to know that I'm not some, you know, perfect, put everything in pretty containers kind of organizer. I'm an organizer for real life, for real people, and I feel their pain. And so that was my story with the record albums.
Do you still think about the records? Did you choose the right one to keep?
Yes. And here's what I think. When I hear music from one of the albums on one of the streaming services, I go, well, that's what I love is the music. I can always listen to the music if I want to. There are other ways that I couldn't even listen to the music before. And, you know, I already went through the what album cover scenario, and I still have all the photographs.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I have all the memories I need, and I get the joy of listening to the music. And I think, you know, when you make a commitment to something, I really believe this, when you make a commitment to make a change in your life, to make, you know, let go of the old, make room for the new, the universe somehow kind of conspires to help you in, you know, a myriad of ways to help bring into life what you've been looking for, what's important to you. And that's essentially why I do what I do.
It's really beautiful. And I agree that once you decide to put that one step forward and begin the process, the universe sort of conspires to lend you a hand, and whatever then you make room for, it just, it will come your way.
Yeah.
It just eventually, it's just kind of amazing how that all works out.
And I can't explain it, but it's what happened to me when I started my business. And it was what inspired me to launch my business. And I love when my clients say to me things like, well, after you left, or since you've been here, you know, I feel so much better. I feel so much freer. I was able to take a class. I went out and started dancing. I, you know, we were able to move. We're happy in our new homes. It's just, it's the whole, you know, organizing itself is not the goal. That's just the way you get to the goal. And so I think it's, if you're wondering how to do this, if you're feeling overwhelmed at home, if you're listening to this, try to imagine what your life will feel like when it's all done. What is it that you're doing this for? Mm-hmm. What do you want to be able to do differently that you can't do now? And how would that make you feel? Mm-hmm. And that's what you really need to hook on to. What are the values that drive you in life anyway? And try to relate your organizing goals to those values and needs, for that matter, so that you have the juice in you to get through this with help.
I have some, I don't know if you're familiar, but these are stereoscope cards. Do you remember the old stereoscope with the two lenses and you hold it up and you look through? Well, at some stage in my life, I thought that I would start collecting these cards. So I've got this stereoscope that's missing one of the things that's broken. But then I have all of these cards, and some of them are really cool. I mean, they're old pictures of national parks and the grand scenes that you'd really have to dig to find in old books if you wanted. But Liz, I went to that basket during that holiday break, and there they were again. And I'm like, why can't I? I thought, well, maybe I'll sell them. Maybe I'll. And at one point I did reach out to some sellers and say, I would love just to give these to you if you would think that you could sell them. And nobody wanted them. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with these things? What can I do with them? Hmm. What would you suggest me do with those? It's a part of the old me. I have no desire to collect these anymore. I'm likely never going to sit down and look through them. There's so many, they can't prominently be displayed and appreciated. What would you suggest in an instant like that?
Well, it sounds like you already tried the selling route with maybe an antique collector or an estate seller or somebody like that. Are you familiar with the Buy Nothing groups?
Oh, there you go. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So I love the Buy Nothing groups. They are private groups that exist to minimize the amount of, you know, overconsumption that we have in this country. But really what it's about is goes back to the old adage of one man's trash is another man's treasure, and one woman's trash is another woman's treasure. That if you can join a Buy Nothing group through the Buy Nothing website or through Facebook, and what you do is you photograph the item or items, you post it and you ask, and it's by community. So I don't know what the neighborhood you live in Washington is, but there's usually one for every neighborhood of major urban areas. And you post it, and it's possible that somebody out there in your community would love to have it. And you just direct message them your address, and they respond back and say, I'll pick it up on Thursday morning. It, you know, it's because it's neighborhood, you know, there's a fair amount of safety, and because it's private groups and you control the direct messaging, you know, I feel fairly comfortable that it's safe. And especially if you just leave things like on your front porch or something like that. I just did it the other day. I've gotten rid of things that, you know, I might otherwise have thrown in the trash, but didn't want to put things in the landfill. And it's amazing what people are interested in. So I had some mason jars without lids. Somebody took those. So
a lot of people are finding really interesting ways to repurpose. And I could see somebody taking these cards and making some sort of cool artwork.
Definitely.
That I would go into an art gallery and probably pay for.
Yes.
I wouldn't think to do it myself, but they're just have that creative switch within their brain where they can envision this in a different light.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we're in our community, there is a store called the East Bay Depot for Creative Reuse, which is a nonprofit that takes and sells items that are not typically donatable. So art supplies, you know, good quality, but used perhaps, or interest, you know, or creative supplies or craft supplies or things that school teachers would use, construction paper that maybe the package has been opened, but they, you know, are still in good shape. And there may be something similar in your area where it's a nonprofit that specializes in taking donations of art, craft, and teacher supplies. That would be a good Google search
to check out. It's a really good suggestion because I know there's probably a lot of us that are listening that are thinking, okay, well, I have all those things of yarn and I used to crochet and I don't feel like doing that anymore. And how many more blankets can I crochet? And what am I going to do with all that? Or the needles, and might as well donate it to
dozens
of places.
Yes. Yeah. Or to each other through the Buy Nothing or to a senior center thrift shop. There are a lot of options. And I'd like to say that one of the things that's come out of this post-consumer period in our life is that there people are innovating new ways to exchange and repurpose stuff that other people no longer need, want, or can use. So I'm very hopeful that you'll find a good home for the stereo pictures and, you know, and they're very cool.
Tell me, Liz, how does someone connect with you and what does that process look like for scheduling an introductory call? If for some reason they think, hey, this woman can help me out, I need to get her on the phone.
Yeah. And I just want to, if I can just take a minute and say, I'm also offering coaching services to help people not only with organizing challenges, but other kinds of challenges that they face in their own personal productivity, trying to get over some personal challenges, people who know that they want something, but something is kind of keeping them stuck. I'm doing more of that work because I'm looking towards my future in wanting to offer that service. And I'm currently in a coaching certification program, but I've been doing that work even without my certification. I just finally decided now it's time to get legit.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for
so,
you. That's
thank
wonderful.
You.
That's
thank
wonderful.
You. It's a great program and I'm learning a lot and, you know, I'm looking forward to it. But in terms of anyone getting in touch with me, the best way is to go to my website at letsmakeroom.com. That's all one word. And on the upper right of the homepage is a link where you can schedule a free 30-minute no obligation phone chat with me through my Calendly application. So I list the times I'm available. You pick one that works for you. And I call you at the scheduled time.
All of your information, Liz, will be in the show notes so the listeners can go back and access that as well.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So besides organizing and servicing your community, how else do you calm the chaos in your life?
Oh, that's such a great question right now. I discovered about 4 months ago that I needed to calm the chaos in my life, in my head, like many of us do. And I came across an app called 10% Happier, which many of your listeners might be familiar with. I have to say that I was initially attracted to it by the founder, Dan Harris, who was a former ABC News reporter who had a notable and public meltdown on television many years ago in the middle of delivering the news. And his story is worth Googling, Dan Harris, public meltdown. Oh, wow. And he at the time was working for ABC News, and his boss, Peter Jennings, the late Peter Jennings, said to him, I'm going to assign you to the religion beat. And he was not happy about that, but he went and did it. And in the process started discovering all sorts of alternative ways of managing his stress. And in the process kind of came across different modes of meditation, which he is the ultimate cynic. He is the ultimate, you know, he's in New York. He speaks right to my heart because I'm from New York. I'm cynical. I'm skeptical. I, you know, don't know BS. He really takes the place of you. So he discovered this and in the process wrote a book about it called 10% Happier. The book was a huge New York Times bestseller. And then he ultimately developed this fantastic app that features the real rock stars of meditation on many courses that you can take. And the app is very reasonably priced. You can get a free version or you can do the paid version. And I chose to do the paid version. And I've little by little been making mindfulness a regular habit of my life. And it's, I cannot tell you how much it has helped me just be able to manage my stress, my, you know, some of my bad habits, help me sleep better, help me get more awareness into how I think and my choices. And the people that he has on the app are wonderful. Joseph Goldstein amongst them, who is really one of my favorite meditation practitioners. So I recommend get yourself to a mindfulness class or app. If you're looking to improve your general well-being or a specific way to calm your chaos.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I'll look it up. I had not heard about the book. I would most definitely be interested in checking it out.
Yeah. And I definitely would encourage you to check out if you don't have the bandwidth to sit and read a book, the 10% app it's really fun. And it consistently provides new material, new meditation programs, new courses, new challenges. You know, singles you can listen to or go through a whole, and it's fast too. You sit for maybe 15 minutes and 5 minutes of that is just an introduction by Dan Harris and whoever the speaker is. So it's, you know, it's doable. Mm-hmm. If I can squeeze it into my day, anybody can.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, you mentioned some certifications that you're undergoing. You're stretching yourself. You're learning more so that you can support your community. What else is on the horizon this year in 2022 for Let's Make Room?
Well, I expect to be graduating from the program that I'm in right now to get my coaching certification. And then, of course, I have to start accruing my hours towards that certification. So that takes up a good chunk of my time. So I'm balancing both being a solo business owner with several employees and contractors with being a student and, you know, homework and groups and all of that. So I, you know, plus it's just managing life in general. So that's what's kind of that's on my plate for the, you know, rest of the year. However, I do think I'm going to be doing some traveling over the summer, you know, at some point. You know, fingers crossed. It's very hard to make decisions about what to do in this time of life with the pandemic. But if you take all of the precautions, if you get vaccinated, if you get boosted, if you wear a mask, if you stay out of crowded places, I do think it's, you know, and if you just hang out with the people that you know in small groups, I do think it's possible to continue to enjoy your life and not feel. Yeah, I mean, life is short. You have to find ways to make it meaningful. So hopefully we'll be in Europe or somewhere else this summer.
That sounds exciting. Yeah. Well, Liz, would you like to leave the listeners with a challenge, perhaps?
I have often lived my life with, which is this notion of try to take a small risk every day that challenges your comfort zone just a little bit. It doesn't have to be a big thing. I didn't know anything about running a business when I started a business. You know, it's important to just push your comfort zone a little bit. At the same time, I just want to remind people who are kind of, you know, they don't have clarity around what the next step is going to be. What I've learned, one of the biggest lessons I've learned, is that with time comes clarity. If you can sit with the unknown, and this is where meditation comes in really handy. If you can sit with the unknown and just focus on the present and doing whatever you need to do, putting your left foot in front of your right and taking a little challenge, you know, every day, I do believe that the universe will conspire with you to help you.
Well, I want to thank you for being here today. Thank you, Liz. And as I mentioned, we'll have all of Liz's information in the show notes, and I invite you to go over there and check out her website and connect with her and say hello. Thank you for being here.
I'm delighted to have been here. Thank you so much, Deborah.
I hope you've enjoyed my conversation today with Liz. It's my hope that you go back over to the show notes and write down some important questions that will help you get started in your decluttering or downsizing process. The three questions are, do you love it? If I saw it again in a store, would I buy it? That's a great one. Does it suit who I am now? Are there things associated with a past life that just don't resonate with me anymore? Will you take Liz up on her challenge? Are you ready to take one small risk today and challenge yourself to get out there and get out of your comfort zone? Perhaps you need a little bit of encouragement and a guide that can challenge you with questions that will get you to think exceptionally. Or perhaps you need someone to hold you accountable. I would love to be able to connect with you. Please take a moment to head over to my website and connect with me through the contact form or fill out the application for your discovery session. Remember, stay calm and be confident. Have a great week.